At 4:21 this morning, Eastern Time, autumn began in the Northern Hemisphere. Daylight is dwindling, and that means many of us will be going to work in the dark and coming home in it, too. Well, the opposite is true with the South Pole. At the bottom of the world, spring is on the horizon. Samuel Harrison is a research scientist with the U.S. Antarctic Program. I reached him yesterday as he was bidding goodbye to a cold, dark winter.
We're supposed to be at a very climactic moment just today. The sun should be rising over the horizon, but it's very much different from what I expected. It's been a long, slow, protracted rise, and in fact, we've missed most of it as we've had kind of a windstorm for the past 5 days. So we've been kind of sitting in a cloud of blowing snow.
Can you see the light slowly building on the horizon there?
We've actually been able to see the light building since about mid-August when the moon set. And ever since then, it's been bit by bit every day, a little bit lighter. And in the past week, you begin to see the sun as the light bends through the atmosphere even before it's supposed to rise. And so we did see a little bit of a burning fire on the horizon about a week ago. But ever since then, we've seen nothing.
Wow, it's almost poetic, almost philosophical, isn't it?
It's pretty wild.
But really, what is the anticipation like? I can just imagine after so many days and months of sitting in the dark, just looking out that window offers you some degree of hope in the world.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I did imagine before I came down here that, you know, we'd all be eagerly standing outside, watching it come up and shouting and hollering and being very much excited. But in fact, it's kind of the opposite. The darkness is in many ways much more exciting and rewarding than this intermediary time that we're experiencing now.
Really? Why?
Well, in the darkness, there's sights that you just have no opportunity of seeing anywhere else on the planet. We're up here at 10,000 feet, which is kind of surprising when most people think about the South Pole.
Yeah.
They think of icebergs and mountains and things like that.
Penguins.
But we're actually sitting up on 2 miles of ice. And it's incredibly flat. It's almost like you're either standing in a Nebraska cornfield or you're out on a ship in the ocean.
That's amazing. Well, I feel like we're kind of at a dinner party or a cocktail party right now, and I've gone all this time without asking you what it is that you actually do. What kind of science are you doing down there?
So I'm down here operating and running a microwave telescope called the BICEP 3 telescope. And it's a new telescope that was deployed this year. So in the summer season, which only lasts for about 3 months, the austral summer, that is, we packed up everything, we shipped it down here, and we furiously assembled it while we still had a large team here and the station was open and operational. And then in February, the last plane left, and our team left one member behind, which unfortunately was me. And I'm here running the telescope.
You've been down there alone this whole time?
Well, I'm not completely alone. We've got 45 people on station that are wintering along with me.
Okay, so what is the winter like? Just how cold does it get down there?
Well, you're going to laugh, but it's a dry cold.
Well, I'm from Arizona.
I say with a grain of salt.
I'm from Arizona, where they always say it's a dry heat, so I totally get it. But okay, so what are we talking, like a negative 100 degrees Fahrenheit or something?
You know, that's kind of a benchmark that is something that's very exciting for winterovers. And the goal of every winter is to make it to 100. And we were very fortunate to have a long, cold stretch right around the middle of the winter. And our coldest day was actually July 4th, which was very exciting, and we hit 109.1 degrees Fahrenheit. That's below, of course.
So when it does get that cold and the skies are completely clear, I guess it gives your telescopes an amazing vantage point. What can you see with those things?
Well, it's funny. My telescope doesn't actually have an eyepiece or anything really to look at all. It's a microwave telescope, and we're looking at things that are very broad and diffuse on the sky that are extremely, extremely faint and take many, many years to actually see. So in some ways, it's incredibly unexciting, the things that we're looking at with our telescopes, at least on a personal level, as far as, my enjoyment of the night sky. But the dryness is exactly what we're down here for, and that cold weather actually freezes the water molecules out of the air and allows the microwaves to pass directly through the atmosphere, similar to being in space, but not quite as good.
All right. Sam Harrison, researcher with the U.S. Antarctic Program. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling in.